Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I heard about a woman one time who felt that she was ready to buy a house. So she looked and she looked and she found the perfect place. When the woman moved in, she noticed that there was a patch of something that looked like bamboo running alongside her yard. It was, she thought, picturesque, and it looked beautiful and exotic. She liked it. She liked it until the day late the next spring when it started growing and spreading and punching through the baseboards of her bedroom. The woman had encountered a plant known as Japanese knotweed, which some have called killer bamboo. She didn't know it at the time, but this is a very invasive species that gives new meaning to the word persistent. The woman embarked on a plan of trying to control it. She dug it out, it grew back. She invested in environmentally friendly methods of trying to control it, but they had no effect. She invested in environmentally nightmarish chemicals, but the pretty bamboo continued its incessant, unending program of growing through the cracks that had now formed in the foundation of the woman's home. Sometimes even appearing inside the walls of her house in the morning like a scary new species from a science fiction movie. Her last attempt to control the bamboo involved pouring acid on the base of the plant. The leaves shrunk and withered, and for a time the weed receded. And within a month, it was back with a vengeance. How shall we envision the kingdom of God? Jesus asks us this question in our morning scripture. It is like a mustard seed which is very small, Jesus says, and when it grows, watch out, because it becomes big, bigger than you thought it would be. Now, it is a shrub, so it's not as big as, say, California redwoods, or many other plants. So maybe the point that Jesus is making is not that it's big. What exactly does Jesus mean by the phrase kingdom of God, anyway? We tend to think of a kingdom as an area, a place, a piece of real estate. And the Greek word that is translated there, basileia, can mean that. But it can also mean power and authority. So maybe, in other words, it would be more helpful in understanding just what Jesus is talking about to think of the kingdom of God as the power of God or the reign of God, the rule of God. Now, the mustard shrub gets big, but maybe at biggest 10 feet. But one thing it definitely is tenacious. Stop thinking oak, pine, redwood, or cedar. Think instead dandelions. Think instead the Japanese knotwood. In the gardening practices of the ancient Jewish world, the mustard plant was considered a weed. It was to be avoided. It was never sown in a garden because it would quickly take over every bit of space that was available, crowding out all the other vegetables and flowers. It was like Japanese knotweed, which, I've learned, can take root if even one tiny piece of a tendril remains alive in a ton of landfill. With what can we compare the power and the rule and the reign of God? The power of God is something that starts out small, insignificant, unnoteworthy, but watch out because it is tenacious. It is annoying. It cannot be stopped. And the tiniest slip of it, one little seed, one small tendril, can take hold of you forever. and you're not necessarily going to like it. It's going to disrupt your pleasant and cozy lives. It's going to make us uncomfortable. It might even crack the foundations of the things we think we treasure most, our homes, our institutions, our churches. The power of God is wild and untamable and uncontrollable, and we will wake up in the morning and find that it has made its way into the comfort of our homes, intruding, and we will probably be distressed. You will probably be freaked out. You will probably want to find some way to fix it or modify it or eradicate it or domesticate it, but it is the power of God, and so it cannot be fixed or modified or eradicated or domesticated. Another thing about the mustard seed is that it must be crushed. It must be ground and broken for its power to be released. And what does that remind you of? Sounds a little bit like we're talking about Jesus. This is the crazy mystery that we celebrate today, a Christ whose body is torn apart and whose blood is spilled like the grains and grapes of the communion meal that seasons us and gives us vitality and life. Mustard as a spice was also known for its healing powers, and it was rubbed on the chest to help with breathing, sort of like a vapor rub, a Vicks vapor rub that I don't know if they still do that. They did when I was a kid. Very powerful scent. Mustard, a wild contagion of a weed, a healing balm, a sign of upside-down power, official sponsor of the Jesus Revolution. I'm reminded of one of my favorite poems. I'm not going to read a lot of poetry to you here. But I always think about this man, Francis Thompson. He was a 19th century English drug addict. Spent much of his life as a street vagrant. Seldom bathed. But he was a Christian, and he wrote a poem called The Hound of Heaven. Francis Thompson wrote, "I fled him down the nights and down the days. I fled him down the arches of the years. I fled him down the labyrinthine ways of my own mind. And in the mist of tears, I hid from him and under running laughter." The Hound of Heaven in his poem is our Lord Jesus Christ, who chased this pathetic loser from gutter to gutter, never giving up on him. God hounded the man to repentance. And Thompson, like us, was simultaneously a sinner and a saint. His periods of sobriety were punctuated with episodes of damnable ecstasy, but the Father never stopped looking for him, and the Hound of Heaven chased him every day. The Holy Spirit pestered him into eternal life. Know this, you who aspire to be pastors or deaconesses or other kingdom servants, that your churches are not for the well-adjusted. Your churches are not for the people who have their acts together. Your churches are not for respectable ones, not for the wise, the well-fed, the strong. Christ did not come to save the wise man. He came to save the idiot. Christ did not come to save the presentable, but the embarrassment. Blessed are you who stink. Blessed are you whom others despise. Indeed, blessed today are the marginalized, the friendless, the tormented, the demoniac, the scarred. The most profound theologian in the New Testament, in my opinion, next to our Lord Jesus, in fact, the person who was our Lord's earliest teacher, was Mary of Nazareth. And for a period of time, she was a social pariah, a shameful, sinful woman, a harlot to many, a disgrace to others. But she once said that God will fill us with delectable things, and he will send the well-fed empty away. If you think you are safe, maybe you are not. If you think you know, you probably don't. If you are never afraid, then I fear for you. I pray the hound of heaven will sniff you out and hunt you down and drive you into a state of holy madness. With what shall we compare the rule and the reign and the power of God? It is a wild contagion of life. It is a healing balm. It is something that starts out so small and despised. It is something that grows and moves without pause. With what shall we compare the power of God, the mercy of God, the power of God for salvation, to forgive sinners and to love the loveless? It is something that may crack the foundations of what you rely on, maybe even crack open the boulders of your hearts. It is something that in the end will shelter you like a plant. Perhaps not the kind of shelter you envision for yourselves, but shelter. The wild, unruly, untamable, healing, growing, moving grace of God. In Jesus' name, amen.